All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is 37 degrees with mist and fog here in upstate New York. And it's looking like one of those days you probably wanted to crawl back into bed. My kitties were trying to convince me. They're like, come on back, mommy, it's warm, and we are all snuggly. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show, Robots Are Delivering. Toyota, DARPA, Google, Amazon, and Domino's. And yeah, we ended the show looking at Amazon pushing the government now in its quest to become a powerhouse delivery company with their army of drones that they've been working on. We also saw that Domino's Pizza is throwing New Zealand into the bin as a test bed for delivering pizzas. You have little codes, you punch them in, and it opens a little hot box that you can get your pizza out of when it shows up at your door. Pretty insane. I always thought it'd be pizza delivery drones, not pizza delivery driving little robots. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't know if I want to see one of those here. Oh, and what happens if you don't pay? If you don't pay, we're going to send the army of, and they had even an abbreviation for the Domino's robots. It was like the RDU, or ADU, the Autonomous Domino Unit. Maybe we'll have to find it. Oh, the DRU, the Domino's Robotic Unit. That's what it was. They've been thinking long and hard about this one. Anyway, yeah, so where we ended up, we looked, there's also some debate going on Capitol Hill. They're really trying to push now for the federal government, now that they have ruled that artificial intelligence and Google's self-driving cars can be dubbed as a driver, a licensed driver. They are now pushing Congress to start passing rules that would unify the laws across all states. So they could start rolling these puppies out. So, you know, it's not going to be too much longer before we really do start seeing these things zipping around. 2016 is supposed to be the year for the autonomous delivery drones. And we have Amazon wanting to do deliveries. We have Walmart. Walmart also stuck their toes in the game. We looked at that probably 6-8 months ago, as well as Google. And Google, we read way back, Google wants to use their fleet of drones to be some sort of emergency medevac and delivering medications and emergency supplies. So how nice is that? All right, so we're going to start off today because I still have about 12 stories lined up that we never got to yesterday. So we didn't just keep going on this. Where we're going to start today is where we left off yesterday, and this is this Amazon story about the drones. Amazon leans on government in its quest to be a delivery powerhouse. And we were talking, too, about how they're going to do air traffic control for these. Verizon, NASA, the FAA, as well as, I think I was reading, 35 other tech companies, and they didn't outline who they were, all wanted to get into the game of being able to coordinate drone traffic. And I'm sure there's going to be lots and lots and lots of money and all that. And I know they're working on that. I really think that that's part of what the Google Loon or whatever the other project was besides Loon that was very similar, launching those 4G towers across the United States. You know, they said, oh, we're going to offer internet to everybody. And, oh, now we're going to offer cell phone service. But remember, they're also getting into this drone logistics thing. And to have NASA as a satellite, and then to have Google with their stratospheric 4G towers, and then Verizon with their towers all on the ground, and they probably have the best coverage out of any of the cell providers, I would think that that would give you a full 360 to see what was going on. So, you know, it just makes at least from an engineer's perspective, when I'm looking at it, it just makes a lot of sense that that's kind of what some of that project is about. Anyway, all right. So ever since Jeff Bezos started the website Amazon to sell his books, and we read this part yesterday, has wrestled with how to deliver its products as quickly and as cheaply as possible. And maybe that's why Bezos now is working down in the Southwest Texas desert doing launches of his reusable rocket. I don't know if you've seen those, but he's had a couple launches now. He's been very successful. It's SpaceX, Tesla's company, that has been having some issues with landing, but Bezos has been having perfect takeoffs and landings, proving that he can utilize reusable rockets, which will save a lot of money. Today, and this was in March 20th, 2016, so this wasn't an old one. Today, Amazon, now a retail giant, remains obsessed with the issue, building its own fleet of drones, buying trailers for trucks, and signing up for drivers for on-demand delivery. And remember, too, yesterday we looked at the sale of Boston Dynamics by Google, and the two places rumored to be interested were Amazon as well as Toyota. I think I proved my theory that Toyota is probably going to be the winner of that because of their connections with Gil Pratt, former DARPA executive that is now going to be running the new Toyota $1 billion AI facility in California. I think that Boston Dynamics would be a perfect fit for them. I don't know, Jeff Bezos probably has his own robots. You know he does already. They look more like Roombas. They zip around, zip, zip, zip between the aisles, but not as much like Atlas's. Anyway, and nowhere is the company's push to become a logistics and delivery powerhouse more evident than here in the nation's capital. Amazon has emerged as one of the tech industry's most outspoken players in Washington, spending millions on this effort and meeting regularly with lawmakers and regulators. And so, you know, Amazon is another one of those tech companies that seems to have cozied right up in Washington and become best buddies with lawmakers very quietly as they meet at the White House frequently and nobody knows about it. And it's kind of a scary thought. I mean, I don't remember in my growings up, for as long as I've been paying attention, that it was ever so chummy Bud Patton in Washington between corporations, you know, maybe on the side or maybe in private. You had a few buddies who were head of corporations. You go have some cocktails or, you know, Christmas time or whatever, they'd come to the party. But these guys are hanging out in Washington all the time, and they're appointing all these tech leaders to all these, you know, posthumous positions within the federal government. I mean, look at what was his name? I always forget his name. It isn't Larry Page, and I keep calling him that. It's not Jeff Bezos. No, it's the other guy. The Google CEO, Schmidt, Eric Schmidt. When I see Eric Schmidt, I just can't stand even look at the guy. But Eric Schmidt, who's now like one of the grand poobahs of Alphabet, Google's parent company, has now been appointed to some fancy schmancy role at the Department of Defense to be overseeing them, keeping the internet safe. Oh, let's hire some hackers to add to our 6,000 and some. Isn't that the number we read the other day? The 300 divisions of 6,000 and some odd hackers to keep this nation safe. And don't worry about it, because we just had another terror attack yesterday in Belgium. So things are going to get dicier. There's terrorists under everybody's bed. And now they're hiding in airports and in train stations. And, oh, they just called for more security here everywhere. Yeah, it's coming, people. It sure is coming. Anyway, these efforts are mostly in their early stages. But Amazon has already has detractors, particularly for its drone efforts. It's because nobody wants drones flying everywhere as big eyes in the sky. And wait, we're going to look at the eye in the sky drones beyond horrifying. Amazon has pushed officials to allow new uses for commercial drones to extend the maximum length of trucks to improve roads and bridges, to prop up a delivery partner, the United States Postal Service. So, wow, they've done just great things now, haven't they? They got them to fix the roads that they let go to shit. They helped the Postal Service that's been spying on you and me for years. I found that story yesterday and put it into the notes about them taking the photographs of all the frums and twos for every package that's gone through them for many years, filing it for law enforcement. And I don't know. Now they're going to open up the skies for fast deliveries so you can get your instant gratification even faster than two-day free delivery with Amazon Prime. Amazon is disrupting huge industries. Retail was a start. Remember, disruptive technologies are not always good things because they could put us into unemployment with our handout asking for universal basic income. Amazon is disrupting huge industries. Retail was a start. Then the enterprise market with its cloud platform, and now it's transportation logistics. So they're going to go head-to-head with something like a FedEx or a UPS, it sounds like to me. They are looking to get into the game of delivery, not only their own products, but potentially others. I don't know. Says Colin Sebastian, a senior analyst at Robert W. Baird. This is Jeff Bezos' playbook, and achieving it by influencing legislation will be consistent with that plan. How nice is that? The money Amazon spent on lobbying in 2015 nearly doubled to $9.4 million compared with the year before, which helped to pay a bigger lobbying staff and pay for a new office to house them. The tally compiled from public records by the Center for Responsive Politics includes only the spending that Amazon must legally disclose. So they spent at least $9.4 million. There's probably another $9 million there that they didn't have to disclose, but don't you worry about that. They have nothing to do with what's happening right now, shaping these laws and rules that are going to turn your life into a 21st century dystopian nightmare. No, don't worry. Keep buying, buying, buying. Just shh. None of these guys are doing anything that would put your best interest at risk. Amazon's figures still lag those of some companies that made camp in Washington long ago, like who? Oh, Boeing, which spent about $21 million in 2015. And it trails the leading tech lobbyist. Who would you think that is? Alphabet, Google's parent company, by several million dollars. So Alphabet has actually spent more than $21 million. That's nice. But, and they made some good friends in the process. But Amazon spending grew at a faster pace than any other tech company. Yeah, they told them. They're like, you know what? You guys want that drone legislation so bad. You're beating up my FAA. They're not moving as fast as you wanted. So you went to Canada. And now you're not going to get it. And then they told them, they're like, you know what? I'll tell you what. You only spent about $2 million. If you jack that up to about $10 million, maybe we'll see if we could do something. I don't know. This is, we can buy policy is what this is saying. You spend enough money in Washington and you just bought yourself some new laws. That's wonderful. When Paul Meisner, Amazon's global head of policy, took over the company's Washington office 15 years ago, he had a staff of two, focused on retail tax laws and other technology-related issues. Amazon now has more than 60 people listed as lobbyists, both employees and contractors, double what it had just 2 years ago, according to the data from the Center for Responsive Politics. The lineup includes people as prominent as Trent Lott, the former state Senate majority leader, who helps persuade members of Congress and representatives for Amazon, and met with lawmakers dozens of times in the last year. The efforts also reach NASA. Ding, ding, ding. And I told you, that's because we're working on this drone logistics system for being able to track air traffic control. The efforts also reached NASA, the Postal Commission, and the Department of Transportation, among others. Amazon and Mr. Bezos, its chief executive, have other interests in Washington, too. Amazon is now a major government contractor with a $6 million cloud computing partnership with the CIA. And remember, I told you guys all about that months back. The CIA approached Amazon back a few years ago and said, hey, you know, you got this big cloud thing going on, and we got all this data, and we need to have some sort of easy access, stable back end. So how about if you build us a duplicate Amazon cloud, all for the CIA? And they did. And Mr. Bezos' ownership of the Washington Post, and we didn't forget about this one, but he did. They bought Washington Post back a few years ago in 2013. And it gives him a foothold in the political and media circles of Washington. I didn't think about that. That would be a good reason to buy the Washington Post. Or you could put out all kinds of dirty laundry stories about politicians that aren't going to play your game. Amazon declined requests for comments to this article. But on a recent earnings call, Amazon's chief financial officer, Brian Olvasky, explained why Amazon wanted to go more aggressively into delivery. To properly serve our customers at peak, we've needed to add more of our own logistics to supplement our existing partners. So they are like totally bitch slapping UPS and FedEx, apparently. And I wonder if that had anything to do with some of the failures at Christmas time. If you remember, there was something really odd going on there, but one of the providers, I think it might have been FedEx, one of the providers decided there was some snowstorm or something that happened, and there was a holdup right around the holidays, and one of the providers, and like I said, I'm pretty sure it was FedEx, had decided that they weren't delivering on Christmas. And not that anybody wants to be working on Christmas, but if you lost a day of delivery and you had 10 bazillion little kids out there waiting for their Christmas presents from Santa, and I just can't even understand how any corporation, especially one that focuses on delivery, would think it was a good idea, especially when they had to call in sick because of snow, rain, storm, sleet, or whatever, that they wouldn't be trying to make that up delivering the next day. But nope, they didn't deliver, and it pissed a lot of people off. Anyway, so Amazon says that we need to add more of our own logistics to supplement our existing partners. Now remember, Amazon, once they have all kinds of drones in the sky and all their cozy partnerships with the CIA and the congressmen and Washington newspapers and rocket ships and all your purchase history, and just chalk up another one, another tech company that has just gone into being in charge of us being watched, bagged, and tagged. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. In addition, the company's shipping costs rose 19% to $5 billion in 2015, and the millions of members in its Prime annual subscription service, Amazon's most frequent customers, have helped feed the surge. Those customers receive free shipping for many of their products. Some analysts expect Amazon eventually to take over its entire logistics chain, in some cases from factory to doorstep. And just this month, Amazon signed a deal to lease 20 Boeing cargo planes. So they are telling FedEx to go take a leap, it sounds like to me. And they should be pretty worried about that. That was a good majority of their business. Amazon has fueled a lot of growth for those two companies and breathed some life back in the U.S. Postal Service that they were going to stop delivering on Saturdays, if you remember. Few analysts got excited when Amazon referred to itself as a transportation service provider in a recent regulatory filing. The company they suggested could even become, and here's what I said, competitors to UPS and FedEx. And remember, too, we have all these autonomous vehicles coming. We have these autonomous tractor trailers, delivery vehicles. They were working on, I don't remember which military aircraft it was, one of the military jets. They had already been messing with putting autonomous controls into it so it could fly without a pilot. It's not going to be too long before all this stuff is just going to be, and, you know, we get robots pick and pack. We found out yesterday we have robots now that are teaching themselves, that one in Japan, I think it was, could sit there and learn an entire job overnight just by practicing all night long and taking video of itself and then trying to understand what it did wrong. You know, there isn't going to be room here for you and me. And I don't know who they think is going to buy shit. Universal basic income isn't going to be like they're making us all into instant millionaires. I had seen some paltry numbers. Like, you know, all right, put it this way. Nobody has a job at all. So we're going to send you money. Oh, well, look, we said we're going to send you your monthly allotment of $900 a month. Now, come on. If you can even get rent for $900 a month, let alone a mortgage, how about food at $200+ a week? I mean, there's no way at $900 a month that's going to be able to allow anyone to subsist. 2468, that's $200 and $225 a week. For everything. So you're not going to be buying too much on Amazon. You won't even be able to pay for internet. Mr. Olvlasky, and this is their, I think he was their chief financial officer, insisted on the call that UPS and FedEx would continue to be their most important partners. Yeah, don't want to piss them off yet. FedEx's chief executive, Fred Smith, also played down the possibility of Amazon becoming a rival. All right, FedEx is pretty high on the hog there. In a call with analysts and investors last week, of course, we don't want to freak out stockholders. He criticized the quote-unquote fantastical reports about Amazon's challenge to the logistics companies. Right, we need to call them fantastical because otherwise FedEx will no longer be considered a good investment. People are going to start pulling their money out of your stocks and, oh, holy shit, that would mean bad news for FedEx. So it's all fantastical. It's all a figment of your imagination that's never going to happen. Satish Jindal, founder of SJ Consulting Group, which advises transportation and logistics firms, said, quote, "If my package doesn't get delivered to my expectations, most people don't think of FedEx or UPS," he said. He added, "They think of the retailer, so Amazon is getting into drones and delivery to enhance the customer experience and have a bigger influence over the customer." And like I said, what this guy had mentioned, if my package doesn't get delivered, I really think it has something to do with that Christmas that FedEx decided they weren't going to deliver. And I called it out when that happened. If you are a delivery company and that is your core business and then you can't deliver on the biggest delivery day of the entire year, there's something wrong. There was definitely something wrong there. So they're going to deserve what they get. Already, the company's drone push in Washington has had some successes. Amazon has worked with NASA, for example, to create an air traffic system that would establish lanes in the sky for drones. Amazon is also urge Congress to adopt rules that would allow the retailer to fly drones beyond a pilot's line of sight. Remember, those were some of those dumb rules they said, which I thought they were pretty good, but I didn't see how they were going to implement where the law said that the drone had to always remain within the line of sight. I mean, you can't go very far if that's the case or have any trees. Amazon also urged Congress to adopt rules that would allow the retailer to fly drones beyond a pilot's line of sight, a crucial hurdle to Amazon's goal of operating drones from its warehouses. I was actually thinking, why don't they pair up a Google self-driving car that then launches drones in a neighborhood, and the self-driving car could be the surveyor that watches the drones. This effort is expected to face an important test soon. This very month, the Senate Transportation Committee drafted a bill that would ensure rules for delivery drones within the next 2 years. Well, phew, maybe it'll drag its feet a little bit longer. I think I'm really going to have problems hearing those all over outside 24/7 flying unattended. I'm not down with drones, guys, at all. Airline and pilot groups have resisted many of Amazon's proposed changes. The chance of a collision will go way, way up when you have more unmanned craft, says Chris Dancy, a spokesman for the Helicopter Association International, which is a trade group. Some of the drone makers said in an interview that Amazon's bold statements may be generating too much public angst, which is helping the safety advocates. Well, wouldn't we want to help the safety advocates? Would we really want to have mid-air drone collisions? No, I don't think so, especially now with a helicopter or an airplane. But you know what? Because people are talking about it now, oh, they're getting too angsty. So let's keep it all quiet and pass our secret laws like we like to do, as we're butt patting, lobbying, and doing hookers and booze in Washington. You know, that's what it all comes down to. Hookers and booze make the world go round. Amazon is arguing for changes in many other areas too. Already, Mr. Meisner, a lead lobbyist, has called for an overhaul of an arcane system of international delivery rates that he says gives foreign e-commerce rivals an unfair advantage to deliver to American homes. He also urged the approval of legislation that aims to improve roads, bridges, and railways. The bill was passed by Congress and signed into law in December. The private sector cannot make all the necessary improvements in transportation, Mr. Meisner said in July during a Senate hearing, a message that he has repeated to members of Congress. Government needs to keep up. Amazon has also backed a proposal for 33-foot twin trailer trucks, vehicles that would extend beyond the current length of trucks by several feet. Opponents say longer trucks could make the roads more dangerous for other drivers. Well, probably not any more dangerous than double semis. I was almost killed by one of those suckers in the wintertime. And dangerous trucks. The 33-foot trucks are going to be safer, says Mr. Meisner last July, because there will be fewer of them on the road driving fewer miles. Yeah, and what nobody mentions is at some point in the future, the self-driving trucks will be on the road, so we won't have to worry about it at all. The proposal is met with resistance from good old Ralph Nader, a longtime consumer advocate. Where was Ralph this year? I didn't see him in the election at all. He was always like a staple that was in a corner somewhere collecting dust, but I didn't see him this year. It's interesting. He said that he wrote Mr. Bezos asking Amazon to stop its support of these trucks for safety reasons. And he said Mr. Bezos never responded. The proposal was rejected last year as part of a broader transportation bill. Drones and longer trucks. What are all these efforts for? Mr. Nader said in an interview. Do you get your toothpaste faster? Do, do, do. So I don't know. That was definitely an update. It seems that Amazon is trying to push their influence in Washington by spending tons of money and trying to buy influence, trying to put some feet to the fire and get them to do what they want them to do. There was a story, too, about Boeing, another big lobbying firm. And we talked about these when they first announced them. These are these new mothership underwater drones, I believe, where they can launch They can fill its belly up with little underwater, unmanned underwater drones and have it float around and then let them all loose when they need to. Boeing's monstrous underwater robot can wander the ocean for 6 months. As far as locales go, the bottom of the ocean is a particularly exasperating place to explore. Anyone or anything you send down there has to contend with the dark and with thousands of pounds of pressure on every square inch, as well as the inability to replenish your fuel supplies without returning to the mothership. And look, they even called it the mothership. In recent years, unmanned undersea vehicles, UUVs, have improved the situation, eliminating the need to send a human down below or to attach an unmanned vessel to a surface ship with a long umbilical cord. Those include Boeing's Echo Ranger and Echo Seeker underwater robots, which can spend a few days at a time below the surface with ranges measured in the tens or hundreds of miles. That is progress, but it is not enough to emancipate the UUV from the need for a nearby surface ship with a human crew, which piles on the cost. UUVs are nothing more than an extension or an application of the surface ship. They were just one step better than leaning over the ship's rails to peer into the briny deep. And he says, we need to come up with a capability that allows us to operate an autonomous underwater vehicle that does not require a surface ship. Well, that was in 2011. So, now in 2015, the mothership is here. Boeing is now showing off the product of that decision. The Echo Voyager can spend 6 months at a time exploring the deep sea with a 7,500-mile range, so there is no ship needed. Structurally, the 51-foot Voyager is not too different from his little brother, the 32-foot Seeker or the 18-foot Ranger. The difference is the introduction of the hybrid rechargeable power system. Like Boeing's other UUVs, the 50-ton Voyager runs on lithium-ion or silver-zinc batteries that power it for a few days at a time. But instead of scooting over to a ship anytime it's running low on power, the Voyager just fires up a diesel generator that recharges its batteries all on its own. It only turns on the generator at the surface, so the exhaust can be piped into the air. Oh, yes, well, good thing that Boeing's working on green carbon-reducing solutions as it automatically fires up a diesel generator while it's above ground so it can pipe its exhaust into the air. I mean, come on. They could keep it inside. Those little UUVs aren't going to care if there's some diesel exhaust or carbon monoxide. They should find a way to use carbon monoxide to power the thing. Says the Voyager works like a Chevy Volt. If the Volt carried 1,000 gallons of fuel and could drive from San Francisco to Hong Kong without hitting a gas station, the Volt is more fuel efficient, though. Battling water resistant, the Voyager just gets 7.5 miles to the gallon. So wait a minute. We're getting less than an F-250 miles per gallon. And we're dumping out diesel fumes, and they got these things out scooting all over the ocean, just sucking up resources. For what? They don't say. We haven't seen yet what they're doing with the mothership loaded with a belly full of autonomous underwater vehicles. It reminds me of a spider with its belly full of babies that bursts and they run all over the place. It's horrifying. Boeing says customers could use the Voyager to inspect underwater infrastructure, take water samples, create bathymetric maps of the ocean floor, or help with oil and gas exploration. The UUV can link up with satellites to send data back to its land-dwelling bosses and uses standard commercial interfaces so clients do not have to adapt their equipment or software to use it. And because it will spend so much time wandering on its own, the Voyagers, packed with redundant systems and backups, Tower said, which partly accounts for its size. The Voyager, which would be capable of operating under 11,000 feet of water, has already spent time testing in Boeing's 35-foot deep pool in Huntington Beach, California, and will start sea trials off of the coast of California this summer. Boeing has not yet revealed its price or said when it will be commercially available, but whenever it's ready to strike out on its own, it'll make the ocean that much less of a pain in the ass to explore. And they actually said that. You know, that's pretty messed up. So they're trying to sell it now to what? To oil refineries or water testing people. Why wouldn't they send that? Sell that to people like Amazon who want to do overseas delivery. Oh, all right. Well, here's one out of Wired magazine. America, regulate your drones now or get left behind. Drones are big business and getting bigger, and a reality that comes with both economic opportunities and risks. The UAV market is set to jump from $5.2 billion in 2013 to $11.6 billion by 2023. Opportunities for not only delivery services, but cinematography. Yes, remember, from your HD cameras, they're going to be filming everywhere. And not only cinematography, but we have already real estate agencies that are using them to get aerial photographs of the property. We have insurance companies using them. We have tax divisions of your community using them to take a look whether or not you put a new shed on the property and didn't tell them so you get more taxes. We had... it was something else I was just thinking about. There was another use that I just saw. Oh, reporters. They're teaching now students in college to use drones so they can use drones to get their story. It's pretty disturbing. They're going to be everywhere. I mean, this really, my nightmare from all those many, many, many years ago is about ready to come true, people. And this is not good. Opportunities for delivery services, cinematography, and even flying cell towers. And that's the one by Google. That's the one that's going to be carried on the drone. There was the drone one and the balloon one. Could introduce thousands of jobs. Yes, it's all about the jobs, people. And reinvigorate the ailing aerospace market. Boeing's profits need a boost. At the same time, drone sales to hobbyists have exploded. Registered drone operators in the U.S. now outnumber registered manned aircraft. And remember, you got to register your drone. I don't remember what the rules are, but if you get a drone, make sure you look them up because they're pretty... Oh, no. Hold on. I accidentally just pulled out my headphones. There's a pretty hefty fine if your drone requires registration and you don't register it, the FAA is going to come after you. At the same time, drone sales by hobbyists have exploded, and registered drone operators in the U.S. now outnumber registered manned aircraft. And in tandem with that growth, close calls with commercial aircraft have more than doubled in the past 2 years. An analysis of FAA reports by Bard College's Center for Study of the Drones, they have a center for the study of drones, counts 28 instances in which pilots change course in order to avoid a collision. To reap the benefits of this boom and to ward off its downsides, American regulators must create clear and directed drone policies. The slow response by the FAA to address these issues puts American interests in encouraging a vibrant commercial drone marketplace at risk. For example, Chinese businesses have been using drones to deliver packages for years. But the FAA, so let's do it because the Chinese have been. But the FAA's sluggish response in allowing that kind of business has led many U.S. drone manufacturers with no ability to compete with their Chinese counterparts to move their testing programs offshore. And we did talk about that one way back, and I mentioned it today when Amazon went up over the border to Canada to be able to test and demo their drones. As a former Navy fighter pilot and now the director of the Humans and Autonomy Lab at Duke University, Humans and Autonomy, that sounds like a good one too. I, the author, have spent 20 years watching and shaping the evolution of modern aircraft, and for more than a decade, researchers like me have warned the FAA that the rise of UAVs, more commonly known as drones, would be disruptive. Again, disruptive technologies. From Amazon deliveries to search and rescue operations, and that's Google and Amazon, the technology will significantly affect society. In 2014, remember too, UAE is using drone delivery to deliver citizenship cards. I'd like to see that. That would be kind of funny. With their headdresses. I don't know. I just don't think the drones with spinning rotors and wearing long flowing headdresses are such a good safety concern. But don't worry about it, because the very next story we're going to do about these new safe drones that look like big floating eyeballs in the sky with no pointy pokey pieces to get caught up in. In 2014, this author served as a member of a bipartisan task force on U.S. drone policy convened by the Stimson Center, a nonpartisan think tank. The task force examined the strategic implications of American policy from targeted killing abroad, which we love to do, to regulating domestic airspace. We developed 8 realistic and achievable policy solutions for various government agencies, including the FAA, to produce policies that match our long-term security and economic interest. Unfortunately, those agencies have made little progress. Well, that's how it works. The FAA exemplifies that lack of response with the 2012 FAA Modernization and Reform Act. Congress gave the agency until September 2015 to ensure the safe integration of unmanned systems into the national airspace. Well, guess what? The FAA blew that deadline. And though it still has not been delivered, the Senate is now working on a bill that may bring some closure, albeit imperfect. It now allows some commercial drones used by issuing individual exemptions, hardly a comprehensive approach. And in a recent report grading progress on the task force recommendation, the Stimson Center gave the FAA a C. Yeah, they gave somebody approval, and it might have been Amazon or Google was one of them, to start testing some of their drones. So what can be done to address this and other shortcomings in our drone policy? Well, the Obama administration should lead a comprehensive interagency review of military and commercial trends in drones. And with the booming commercial market and expanding military applications, such review would identify the evolution of drone technology and lead to an overall strategy for increased research and development in order to ensure U.S. compliance and dominance in this rapidly growing international technology race. Oh, so let's keep up with the Joneses is what he's saying. It doesn't matter if this is going to get rid of every single ounce of privacy in the sky or your backyard. You know, and right now it's going to be big bulky drones and little hobby drones. And next thing you know, it's going to be little robo-bee drones. And this just is not good in any way, shape, or form. The world that we are moving into is beyond nightmarish for me. And honestly, for me to do this every single day, this is getting extremely depressing for me. Third, the FAA can accelerate the efforts under the 2012 Modernization and Reform Act to integrate drones into civilian airspace because its lumbering response carries potential economic and security costs. So God forbid, if these policies are not fixed, the U.S. is not likely to remain the world's leading innovator in UAV technologies. Well, I thought Israel was working on that. If the FAA must streamline and accelerate its process to support the industry at home, they should. And the history of technological innovation is filled with great advances in physics and engineering that far outpace the legal frameworks that guide them, shape them, and at their best help them flourish. And drones are a tool. So if we use them wisely, aided by smart policies, they will lead to tremendous economic and what? Oh, military opportunities. That's the first time I've heard of military being referred to as opportunities. So there you have it. Let's get those drones regulated. Otherwise, we're going to be left behind the rest of the world with the ever more invasive invasion. So here's a story out of Scientific American. And I'm actually thinking this is the nice one. I'm thinking we might flip to the one from Gizmodo because it really pretty much Scientific American like tells the official story. It's friendly and it's a safe flying machine. It's called Sky, S-K-Y-E, and it looks like a big eyeball in the sky. Soft drone designed to be safe among people. Because we're like kindergartners, we need to be kept safe. It's helium-filled, and it is spherical, and it's dubbed Sky by its developers. It handles a quadcopter, yet it is safe and energy efficient as a blimp. And it could be a new advertising vehicle. Yes, that's what they want to use it for. It's a new breed of unmanned aerial vehicle that can glide around safely and interact with people. And the helium-filled drone is extremely light and agile, despite it being about 10 feet in diameter. This is Sky. It is a unique flying machine, which is safe enough to interact with you. You can touch it in flight. As you can see, it is basically filled with helium, which provides most of the uplift. And then you have these motors here, and this is where the magic happens. There's a computer on board which knows exactly how it's oriented in the world. And then it gives commands to the motors to actually align it to where it wants to be. There are four motors on it, which can rotate around their axis, and then you can precisely control it in any environment. The makers believe it could allow advertisers and brands to engage directly with the public in a way never before seen because it is interactive and safe to touch. Sky has a flight time of about 2 hours on a single charge, and it is strong enough to carry onboard cameras for live streaming and aerial cinematography. Well, great. It also solves the problem of ensuring crowd safety that has limited the use of traditional drones at public events. And I am assuming, because it doesn't really say, but it's like a big eyeball. Big eyeball. And it's loaded with helium. And I'm wondering if the quadcopter is not inside this thing. There is a video. I'm not going to play it right now. I don't know. Maybe we'll try. Let's read the Gizmodo story that tells more of the story. The title of the Gizmodo story is Flying Drone Billboards Are the Future We Deserve. Yes, big flying eyeballs. And I'm going, is chat open over here? I thought it was. Oh, there it is. Let's see if I can get there really quick. I want to drop you a picture of the flying eyeball drone. It's pretty horrifying looking. This is from last Thursday, it looks like. When listing all the ways humanity is going to ruin the future, one that doesn't often come up is the sun being blocked by a horde of drone advertising blimps. But that has not stopped one Swiss firm from working hard to make that a reality. Sky Aero. So listen to the difference between Scientific American and Gizmodo. Sky Arrow is a project to build 10-foot helium-filled balloons with small propellers attached to give better control than your average blimp. And the benefit are a much bigger aircraft, useful when you want to advertise to people, and one that will not crash the second it loses power or bumps into anyone. This is not a totally new design. British band Muse have used a fleet of similar drones on their most recent tour, but Swiss firm Aerotain's design stands out due to its soul-sucking practicality. The company thinks Aerotain will be a perfect audience-engaging advertising platform. So, hey, we'll surveil you, but we'll get advertising revenue to support it. Which is probably true, but a little too consumerist to get excited about. Moving away from its role as a replacement for the Goodyear blimp, lighter-than-air drones are an interesting and underutilized concept. Provided they are not filled with hydrogen, they offer increased safety for flying over crowds and a much greater payload than traditional quadcopters. Hopefully, someone will find a better application for them than giant floating billboards. All right, so let's see. We got 4 or 5 minutes left. I don't know where we want to go now. What about the new cloaking technology? So not only can we have these big eyeball self-propelling eyeball in the sky drones, but guess what? We can make them invisible. Engineers develop flexible skin that traps radar waves and cloaks objects. Iowa State University engineers have developed a new flexible, stretchable, and tunable metaskin that uses rows of small liquid metal devices to cloak an object from the sharp eyes of radar. The metaskin takes its name from metamaterials, which are composites that have properties not found in nature and that can manipulate electromagnetic waves. And by stretching and flexing the polymer metaskin, it can be tuned to reduce the reflection of a wide range of radar frequencies. The journal Scientific Reports recently reported that the discovery online lead authors from Iowa State's Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering are Lian Dong, associate professor. Well, we don't need to read all these people. The National Science Foundation and the China Scholarship Council have partially supported the project. What? Why is China's Scholarship Council funding research that could be used for our military at a university? And it looks like the majority of all these people, there's Dong, there's Song, there's Yang, there's Lu, there's Wang, and another Yang. These are all the students in Iowa. And we got our good old NSF, National Science Foundation, and the China Scholarship Council. They've been going back to their dorm room at night, sending all the plans back to China. It's insane. It is believed that the metaskin technology will find many applications in electromagnetic frequency tuning, shielding, and scattering suppression, the engineer wrote in a paper. Dong has a background in fabricating micro and nanoscale devices and working with liquids and polymers. So not only do we have this cloaking device, but we have people who know how to do them in a nanoscale technology. Song has expertise in looking for new applications for electromagnetic waves. And working together, they were hoping to prove an idea that the electromagnetic waves, perhaps even the shorter wavelengths of visible light, can be suppressed with flexible, tunable liquid metal technologies. Again, frequencies. Remember, we talked about frequencies and how important they are. What they came up with are rows of split ring resonators embedded inside of layers of silicone sheets, and the electric resonators are filled with galvanstan, a metal alloy that's liquid at room temperature and less toxic than other liquid metals like mercury. These resonators are small rings with an outer radius of only 2.5 millimeters and a thickness of half of a millimeter. They have a millimeter gap, creating a small curved segment of liquid wire. Tests show radar suppression was about 75% in the range of 8 to 10 gigahertz, according to the paper. And when you wrap the objects in the metal skin, the radar waves are suppressed in all incident directions and observation angles. Therefore, this metaskin technology is different from traditional stealth technologies that often only reduce the backscattering, which is the reflection back to radar. He discussed the technology and took out a tablet computer, called up a picture of a B-2 stealth bomber, and he said one day the metaskin could coat the surface of the next generation stealth aircraft. But researchers are hoping for even more, and that is a full cloak of invisibility. The long-term goal is to shrink the size of these devices, and then hopefully we can do this with higher frequency electromagnetic waves such as visible or infrared. And while that would require advanced nanomanufacturing technologies and appropriate structural modifications, we think that this study proves that the concept of frequency tuning and broadening and multi-directional wave suppression with skin type meta metals. So there you go. Invisibility cloaks. Wonder how long it is going to take for them to get that onto some sort of robotic ground device. Because, I don't know, I think I'd be afraid we could have invisible robots. All right, and to end the show in the last 15 seconds, we talked about this 23andMe to share DNA data with researchers using Apple iPhone. Remember the little button, check and use me for research? Well, now it is just as easy as taking your iPhone and hitting the button, send all my DNA to the researchers because I want to try to save the planet and let them slice and dice me in a laboratory. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Wednesday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is up next. All kinds of live radio tonight. And I don't hear my...